1 through 10. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps that were like high officers to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, testing, and so it, amen, satraps might get, and over these three governors whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them. In other words, Daniel was made over all of the 120. He set three over the 120, and over all of them was Daniel, and so that the king would suffer no loss. In other words, Daniel had earned such the trust of this governmental officer that he put Daniel in charge of everything. How many know God know how to put his people in the right place? Listen, he knew that he could trust Daniel. Isn't it good when your job know that they can trust you, that you won't steal from them? They said he knew he could trust Daniel with the money because he said he would suffer no loss. And I want you to know, God's people ought to be the most favorite people, the most trustworthy people. They ought to be able to put you in the place. Come on, how many believe that? I'm claiming promotion. I'm claiming favor, that God's going to open doors because he's found somebody trustworthy. Anybody in here say, God, use me. Come on. And I believe that that's what God will do. And that's what he did in Daniel's life. Listen, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because he had an excellent spirit within him. Listen, I want you to know that. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satrap sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or any man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. How many know they were lying? How many know if you dare to, sometimes promotion will bring haters. Sometimes because God will lift you up, how many know not everybody going to like it? Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel, went home in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. In other words, you know, I want to talk to you about this man named Daniel, because here we see a man who, regardless of what the hostility, the environment around him, he chose that he was going to honor his God. I want you to know, when you honor God, how many know God will honor you? And I want you to know that Daniel, you know, I thought of this song this morning. Y'all know it's one of my favorite. They lied. They conspired, they told their lies, but God favored me. How many know when God favored you, you know, they could lie on you, they could conspire against you, they might say all kind of things, but how many know if God is for you? Come on, who can be? How many understand that when God is on your side, it doesn't matter what the haters are saying. It doesn't matter what the naysayers are saying. How many know all that matters is if God is on your side? And I want you to know that prayer will bring the presence of God. Prayer will bring the favor of God. And prayer will cause God to be on your side. Come on, give God some praise in this place. And so it doesn't matter what the world is doing. All that matters is what God is doing. Can I have an amen? Prayer invites the presence of God. I like to say it this way. Prayer will cause God to put his super on your natural. I can't do it in my own strength. How many have discovered that you apart from God are a zero? But I mean, you know, when you've coupled with God, you become a winner. Can I have an amen? And that's why Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branch. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. When we realize how utterly empty we can't do anything of any eternal good apart from his presence. That'll cause you to pray. So I want to share real quickly three things if you and I are going to develop the habit of prayer. The first thing, you need to make prayer a priority. Say a priority. This is so important. Listen, Daniel was a very busy government worker. He was over a whole country. He was like, would be considered like a vice president over a nation. And yet, in spite of all his responsibilities, Daniel found time to not only pray one time a day, but the Bible says, as was his custom or his habit, he prayed three times a day. I'm telling you, if you and I are going to ever develop a habit of prayer, it got to be a priority. How many know a priority is you got to put it first? Can I have an amen? Listen to me. I've learned this weekend. My heart goes out to all you young mothers. My daughter just had a baby this weekend. They've been staying in our home, and the three oldest been sleeping in our room. And here's the reality. I've learned if I don't get up early to seek God, I won't pray. I mean, I won't get that, because I'm talking, they're demanding and they want your every attention. And so if I don't get up before they get up, I'm in trouble. Can I have an amen? So my heart goes out to every one of you that's raising young children. Come on, come on. Mothers need extra grace. Let's thank God for these mothers who in spite of their challenges. Listen, every man, you ought to thank God for your wife, because sometimes we don't know what they go through. But I'm telling you, we need to say, God, if you got a mother or a wife who raising children and cooking the food and go to work, oh my goodness, you better especially thank God. And then come home and fry it up in the pan and never let you forget you a man, you better. Oh, I'm telling you, you get a new appreciation, because I'm telling you, when you got to care for children, you know, women are primarily caregivers, but I want you to know, when you got to care for children, you get a whole new appreciation. Let's give all of the women of God, come on, don't pat a kid, come on. Oh, yes. I don't know how y'all do it. By God's grace, that's right. But listen to me. If you're going to make prayer a priority, then you're going to have to set aside time. You're going to have to give the first part of your day. Listen to what it says of Jesus. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke observed that it was a regular habit or custom of Jesus to spend time and get away and pray. In Luke 5:16, he says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I'm telling you, listen, in the time we're living in, with so many distractions, you know that song, I Just Need a Word from the Lord. If you're going to hear from God, then you got to make time to hear his voice. You got to carve out time. I don't care how busy it is. You got to make time and sacrifice to get alone with the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 5, verse 3, it says, Lord, in the morning, let's read verses, beginning at verse 1. Turn with me to Psalms 5. Let's begin reading at verses 1. Give ear to my word, O Lord. I kind of know it. How many of you know that? How many of you want God to hear you? It starts out in Psalm 5, verses 1. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Give heed to my voice and my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray. Listen to what it says. My voice shall you hear when? When? In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. I believe that, you know, here's a principle. I've learned that people who who win the battle the first part of the day, they'll have victory the rest of the day. I've learned that if you don't learn to win the battle in the first part of the day, you'll be fighting for victory the whole rest of the day. I get busy, and I may sometimes be called out. And there's been times when I've had to rush out and not have my time of devotion with God. And I'm telling you, I find that, man, listen, if I don't take time to get with the Lord, I'm more prone to get in the flesh. I'm more prone to get irritated. I'm more prone to get angry. I'm more prone to say something that I shouldn't say. Anybody ever have that struggle beside me? And so I'm telling you, I need to pray. No, I got to pray, because, listen, you don't want to see me if I don't pray. Can I have an amen? Listen, I ain't nothing nice if I don't get in the presence of God, because I'm like Paul, in my flesh, there's no good thing. How many of you realize that in you, there's nothing good? That's why I need I need his super on my natural. I need his holy on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, I need God's gentleness. I need his patience. I need his love. I need his kindness. I can't do it in my own strength. And so I have to pray, because, listen, if I don't pray, I ain't nothing nice. Can I have an amen? Anybody beside me realize you need God in your life? I need to pray. And so if you're going to make prayer a habit, then you must make it a priority. You got to make a priority. Secondly, we look at Daniel's life. Daniel not only made prayer a priority, but we must learn to be steadfast in prayer. I like this. This is what it says. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room. Listen, understand that the writing was that anybody who prayed to anybody other, he did, was going to be thrown in the line. Daniel wasn't moved. Daniel wasn't fazed. He didn't waver. He didn't draw back. I want you to know that, listen, I've been in places where sometimes I've been called on to pray. And have you ever been intimidated because, man, look, you know there's people there that might not believe in God or might not want to hear you pray. But Daniel wasn't moved. He didn't waver, but he was steadfast. I want you to know that if you're going to develop a habit of prayer, you're going to have to learn to be steadfast. The word steadfast means to be unwavering, unmovable. It means that, listen, you're firm in your conviction. Daniel realized that, listen, I have but one hope in God. Listen, I'm not bowing to nobody but Jesus. I want you to know he's the same Daniel that inspired Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He realized that, listen, there's only one God who can deliver me. I'm not bowing to the king. The world will try to cause you to bow to it. But if you're steadfast in prayer, you're going to realize there's only one who answers prayer. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody say Jesus. Say there's power in the name, there's deliverance in the name, there's healing in the name. And if you're gonna develop a habit of prayer, you're gonna have to be steadfast in prayer. Listen to what it says in Romans 12:12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer. I like the Living Bible. It says, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Look at somebody and say, keep on praying. The prayer that gets results is the prayer that don't give up. Y'all heard me? Sometimes some people quit right before the breakthrough. Steadfast prayer is prayer that persevere. Sometimes people give up right before their greatest breakthrough. Sometimes people turn back right when God is about to answer. Jesus said, listen, he said, that's why you ought to pray and never give up. Look at somebody and say, you got to pray and not give up. And prayer, listen, if you're going to develop the habit of prayer, because some people get disillusioned because, well, I prayed, but nothing happened. Well, the Bible says, if you, here is Jesus said when he wrote on prayer, he says, knock, and the door shall be open. Listen, that word means keep on knocking. He said, first of all, say, ask, and that word, and you shall receive. It means keep on asking. It means seek. It means keep on seeking, and you shall find. And it means knock. Means keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone, listen to what Jesus said, for everyone that asks what? And everyone that seeks and everyone who knocks, The doors shall be opened. I want you to know God has given us a promise, but I want you to know in order for you and I to experience the promise of God, we got to be steadfast. In other words, we're not just praying just for 21 days. We're praying every day. Can I have an amen? Daniel's life was so marked by steadfastness that here his enemies knew if we're going to catch Daniel in something, we know there's one thing, that Daniel is going to be constant or steadfast in his prayer. Daniel's prayer life I wrote it here, listen. Daniel was immovable and unwavering. His prayer life was so predictable that when the enemies got a law against praying, they knew that they had Daniel. I made a note here. Can God count on you to be a people who are constant and faithful in prayer, regardless of what the circumstance, regardless of what's the situation? You know, our nation has never before, how many know we need prayer? We don't have to wait till trouble come. If we will be people of prayer, I want you to know that prayer is what changes things. Prayer was bring heaven down to earth. Prayer was what causes God's intervention. I want you to know, listen, when we see what's going on in Iran and other places, we ought to be praying to God. God, come on, we need you to intervene. Listen, I don't want to see, how many of you want praying that we don't enter in another war? Anybody beside me? Listen, I don't want to see no more young men lose their lives premature. I'm asking God, come on, I'm asking God for him, his intervention. And prayer brings the intervention of God. I know God hears the prayers of his people. Don't wait till you get in the fire to pray. Pray, because you see, because if you'll pray, here's what I've learned. If you'll learn to be steadfast in prayer, then when you face a trial, how many of you know you'll have the courage to go through it, because you know that the God who heard you before, he's still the God who still hears you. And we have to learn to be steadfast in prayer. This is the quality of the early church. It says in Acts 2 verses 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and prayer. One of the greatest things that I have appreciated more than anything, we need some fresh intercessors, but I want to commend, because they, most of them are here, but we have some ladies who for the almost the last 24 years who have prayed daily for you, for this ministry, for me. They've been steadfast in the good time, the bad, summer, winter, snow, rainfall, and they've been steadfast. I like just to acknowledge our innocent. Those of you that have been coming to morning prayer, would you just stand? I just want the people to recognize. Come on, I want them to recognize Miss Rose, Miss Sonia, all of those who've been, Josephine, all of those who've been a part of morning prayer. Come on, open. Come on, let's thank God for them. Now listen, here's the challenge. Most of them, Miss Rose is 82, my mama 82, Miss Sonia, I think she's getting up there as well. I don't know, but she's up there. But anyway, how many of you know we need some fresh, any of you young people got a burden to pray? Because we need some fresh life. And I'm just saying to you, we need some of you who's going to pick up the mantle to be steadfast in prayer. Because I want you to know, if there's been any power in the pulpit, is because there's first been prayer in the pew. If there's been any sense of change, that, let me just tell you, it's been the reason the favor of God has been on our life is because somebody prayed it in. Jesus said, those who seek me early will find life and favor. And I want you to know, the favor of God on my life is not an accident. So I want to, again, I thank God for all of you who pray for me. Come on, give yourself. Oh, come on, let's thank God. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, I don't take it for granted. There are people, listen, I know that I've been kept not because of my grace, not because of my strength, because somebody prayed. You know that song, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. Come on, my mama prayed for me. Anybody remember that song? That my sister prayed for me. But we need people who be steadfast in prayer, because prayer, and hear me, I want to say this, if you and I are going to experience God's victory in 2020, if we want to see God do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think, I want you to know, is because you're going to have to learn how to have a daily time of prayer. Here's what I've learned. People who are powerful in public is because they've learned to establish some disciplines in private. If you're going to have power with God in public, is because you first learn to spend time with God. Sometimes the reason why some people are shallow in public is because they're shallow in private. I've learned, if there's no anointing on your life, if there's no authority of the Spirit in your life, it's often because there's been no sacrifice of time spent with God. And I've been in this thing 40 years. I can tell when people have been in the presence of the Lord. Just like they noticed Daniel, they say he was distinguished. He stuck out. There was a light on his life. There was a grace on his life. And when you've been in the presence of the Lord, many of you remember the story when Moses came down from the mountain. He had been in the presence of the Lord for 40 days. And the Bible says his face shone like a light. I want you to know, when you've been with God, people ought to be able to see. I want you to know, they can tell. Listen, they can tell there's something about your life. I see it on your face. I see it in your eyes. Come on, I can tell you've been with the Lord. Come on, and they ought to be able to, listen, people ought to be able to say, I can tell you have been with the Lord. And that's what will mark us different. The thing that sets us apart from all other people on the earth is because we have a God who hears us when we call. God says, what other people on the earth who has a God who, when they call on him, he hears them. He's present with us. Listen to me. What set us apart is not our denomination, not our bumper stickers, not our labels. What set us apart is the presence of God. How many of you want more of his presence? Come on. And if you want more of his presence, then you're going to have to establish a habit. You're going to have to learn to be steadfast, because it's the presence of God that breaks yokes. It's the presence of God that'll listen, when you get that midnight call, I want you to know, it's the presence of God that'll cause you to stand firm and say, God, I know you're working it out. And lastly, as I close, hear me, I like this last one. If you and I are going to establish the habit of prayer, then we're going to have to learn to pray effectively. Say effectively. Now, why is that so important? Because the word effective, listen, if you look it up in Google and say, what does effective mean? Effective means get results. How many want to get results? The word effective means one who gets results. I don't want to just pray for the sake of praying. I want to see God move. I want to see people healed. I want to see yokes destroyed. I want to see lives changed. I want to see addictions broken. And I want you to know, there is a prayer that will get results. And so I want to talk to you as I close about effective prayer. Listen, we must learn to pray effectively. Most of you know this scripture, James 5:16. Confess your trespass one to another and pray one for another. Listen to me. One of the things that the Bible speaks of before you and I could ever have effective prayer with God, we got to have effective relationships with others. Have you noticed that God preceded the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man has much power? Before that verse, in the same verse, God says, confess your sins or faults one to another and pray one for another. In other words, Jesus, you know, the prophet Isaiah said, my hands are not short that I can't deliver. My ears are not deaf that I can't hear. But your sin has separated you between you and your God. I want you to know, you can't have unforgiveness and be powerful in God. You can't hold grudges and unforgiveness and hating on people and expect God's power to be. You got to get it right. Look at somebody. You got to get it right. And I want you to know that, listen, the reason why sometimes things happen in our lives is that sometimes God is trying to get your attention. I'm going to give you just a testimony. I was praying when doing my fasting, because fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. And often when I pray and fast, one of the things God began to show me, Lord, is there any relationships in my life that aren't right? Is that, you see, we can hold grudges and bury them. But you know, if you don't like people, because when they come around, you don't want to be bothered with them. And I realized that, God, as I was praying, there was a particular person that I just didn't have good feelings towards. Not that I didn't have a right relationship, a fellow pastor. This is what amazes me. In my prayer journal, that's why I journal, because when God speak to me, I told my wife about it. I told my, I think I even mentioned the kid. I know I need to give that pastor a call, because I don't care what they've done. God's concerned if I hold unforgiveness, the problem is with me. Can I have an amen? And unbeknownst to me, I'm praying. I'm saying, God, I know I need to get it right. Guess who calls? See, God already knows. God knew I wanted to get it right. And it's amazing how when we have a heart to say, God, I don't want to harbor anything. I don't want to hold any unforgiveness. I want to ask you, listen, before we even go to the next point, is it well with your soul? More than that, is it well with others in your life? Is there anybody that you're holding others? Because I want you to know, you'll never pray effectively until you get it right with others. This is the only place in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus said, listen, he said, you know the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Come on, say it with me, thy will be done. Come on earth as it is in heaven. He said what? Give us this day our daily bread. Come on. And what? Forgive us our trespasses. What? As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Then Jesus went and rehearsed. He said, but listen, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Is the only place in the prayer where he felt the need to reiterate the importance that prayer, if you're going to have answered prayer, if you're going to have effective prayer, you need to have right relationships. I'm going to ask you again, do you have right relationships this morning? Is it all well? If not, today you can get it right. Here's the secret, but I'm going to the next part of that verse. It says, confess your trespass one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective prayer gets results. Effective prayer is prayer that prays in line with the will of God. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. I want you to know, effective prayer is prayer that prays in line with the will of God. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, listen, this is how you should pray. How many of you want to learn how to pray effective? Can I have an amen? How many of you want to pray prayer that gets results? This is the first thing that Jesus said. Listen to what he said. He said in Matthew 6:9, we just read it. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We always start our prayer with hallowing. That means to honoring, worshiping, magnifying the name of God. Is him who we call upon. Then he says, then pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Y'all want to know why Daniel wasn't moved? Because Daniel had understood a principle. If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel realized that he was a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Daniel realized that, listen, that I serve the King of Kings, and I know that this king may have passed a law, but my king is greater than that king. And so I don't care what the principle of effective. And Daniel, because he had a right relationship and because he understood the principle of effective prayer, he had prayed, God, not my will, God, but let your will be done. And because he understood that, he could have confidence. He didn't have to fear. He didn't have to stay up all night worrying, well, what's going to happen? No, he knew that, listen, that God, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has much power. How many know there's power in prayer? I want you to know that, listen, the reason why God delivered Daniel is because made prayer a priority. He not only was steadfast in prayer, but he also understood the importance of effective prayer. And effective prayer gets results. The Bible said, by faith, These people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice. Listen, they received what God promised them, and they shut the mouths of lions. The Bible says, and when the king, they threw, I didn't read the rest of it, but how many know, because Daniel, they passed a law that said anybody who prayed to any other god other than the king would be thrown into the lion's den. And because Daniel went to his house and prayed like he always prayed, they threw him in the lion's den. But how many know, God don't always protect us from the problem, but how many know he'll deliver us in the problem? You know, this is what I got. Listen, the Bible didn't say no weapon would come against you. But he said, this is what he said, no weapon that's come against you will prosper. In other words, the devil might plan something against you, but how many know God said, I'll cause it not to prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rise up in judgment, I will condemn. Let me just read. And the Bible says, and when the king came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. In other words, he didn't know if Daniel was alive, but he said, the king spoke saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, has he been able to deliver you from the lions? He didn't know what he would hear. I like this. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Also, king, I have done no wrong. I mean, you know, he's still the God that shut the mouth of the lion. Let me just tell you, there might be some lions that will come against your life in 2020, but how many know we serve a God who can shut the mouth of the lion? And we got to learn that the God, he hadn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to know, it will work miracles. I still change lives. I still work miracles. And I want you to know, if you and I are going to see his power, how many want to see his power in 2020? See, this is why I'm so confident. Listen, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen in our nation. I don't care if our nation go to war. Our God is greater than any situation. Come on, he's greater. Come on, if you believe he's greater, go ahead and stand to your feet and give God some praise. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a great Savior. I can stand here, listen. I can stand here and firmly and confidently tell you this. I don't know what's coming in your life in 2020. But this is what I do know. According to Romans 8:28, I don't care, it might be some bad things happen, but God has already promised he's going to work it for your good. And he said, come on, say it with me, say all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. How many of you love God? Come on, how many of you love him? Then listen to me, you can be confident. You can celebrate. You don't have to wait. You can celebrate knowing that this is going to be the greatest year, because God, you're working it out for my good. Come on, give God some praise. Oh, yeah. He's working it out. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone who've come. And God, we are excited, Lord God, that what you're going to do in 2020. Come on, just come on. Those of you that want to establish the habit of prayer, just say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in 2020, I purpose to make prayer a priority in my life. Lord, in the morning, will I direct my voice, and you will hear me, because I'm going to wait in your presence. Secondly, Lord, we choose to be steadfast. We're not going to be moving. We're not going to be wavering. But we're going to be firm in our conviction, because we know that you're a God who answers prayer. So we're not going to be weary in well-doing. Listen to me. I'm speaking to a mother right now. God just put you on my heart. You've gotten weary. Some of you have gotten discouraged. Some of you say, oh, Pastor, I've been going through it. But the Lord is saying to me to tell you today, don't be weary. Don't give up. Listen, some of you wanted to throw in the towel. Some of you say, oh, you don't know what I've been through. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you to hear this word today. God said, listen, I seen you. Don't give up. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. If that word for you, just slip your hand up right there. I believe that. I saw that word. Listen to me. Those of you that word for you, would you just come right now? I just want, if you say that was for you, just come. I just want to lay hands on. I want to encourage you. Just come right now. Just come right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. I want to pray for you. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Oh, I, you know, this is why God, you know, when you look in the Bible, why God, more often than not, why he used women, because women don't mind.